Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, experts say the local media landscape is tilting right. We'll talk about the implications there. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. The media landscape in San Diego is shifting, in case you haven't noticed, as broadcast giants Nexstar and Sinclair acquire more local stations. Conservative ownership is becoming the norm for San Diego TV stations. Sinclair Broadcast Group is now bidding to buy EW Scripps, which owns 10 News, the ABC affiliate here in San Diego. Reporting by J.W. August in OB Rag outlines the rightward trend. And joining me to talk about it is Dean Nelson, who contributed to the story. He's a professor of multimedia journalism at Point Loma Nazarene University. Professor, welcome back to Midday Edition.
Thank you, Jade. It's always good to talk to you, and it's always good to talk about this very important topic.
Indeed, indeed. So let's talk about it. This latest bid from Sinclair to buy out EW Scripps, what could that mean for our market locally?
What they've done in the past when they've opened or when they've purchased stations is actually reduced local news and increased a lot of the national news coverage, which, national news coverage is important, but the shrinking of local news and then making sure that the national coverage totes a particular line, both in content, tone, ideology. So that's what they've done in the past. We have no reason to believe that it would be different if they bought Channel 10 here.
What can you tell me about Sinclair Broadcast Group and its ownership?
Very conservative, very wealthy, very much in the Donald Trump camp, and whether they would continue, I mean, it's Sinclair that was one of the giants that took Jimmy Kimmel off the air after he made his comments after the death of Charlie Kirk. So they have a very aggressive stance on the kind of ideology they want to promote. And that's kind of where I think it would go here in San Diego if they owned Channel 10 as well.
Yeah. I mean, 10 News is one of the remaining San Diego stations not under control by conservative ownership. When did that rightward trend really start to gain traction here?
This has been going on for a long time, and not only in broadcast television, but also in cable and in some print organizations. But this has been part of the trend, and I would say the emphasis for me anyway is not necessarily whether it's conservative or liberal. This is capitalism. This is how capitalism works. And buying up competitors, buying up other assets so that you can become the dominant player. So on the one hand, this is about conservative media ownership. But on the other hand, it's just capitalism at work.
That's interesting. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more.
Please.
Here. But before I do, you know, I want to talk about this too, because according to J.W. August reporting in OB Rag, former Sinclair employees, you know, they report that the company distributes opinion pieces to run in local newscasts without clearly labeling them as such. What does this mean for trust in news media?
What happens when news organizations mask their opinion as news is that eventually, I think people start to see through it and begin to mistrust it. I think it's a method that will ultimately backfire, but in the meantime, it will allow more acquisitions. It will, because it curries favor with the White House and with the FCC director, and so they're going to be able to just keep buying up stations and make money. But in the meantime, the stakeholders in this is the audience, the viewers, people who are trying to get informed as citizens. And as that becomes more and more skeptical in whether we're really getting something honest and the best obtainable version of the truth, it just kind of begins to sow that mistrust even further.
You know, years ago, this type of ownership in one market would have never happened because there were laws in place. The FCC regulated corporate ownership of stations to ensure there were no monopolies.
Those laws don't matter, Jade. Those laws don't matter. The fairness doctrine, the 39% rule, all of that, that went out the window as cable and as internet streaming. I mean, those laws just can't keep up with the technology and with the delivery systems that are in place. Really, when I say that this is kind of capitalism at work, they're not competing with other broadcast stations. They're competing with streaming services and with podcasts and Netflix and all. So I think it's similar to, why does Netflix want Warner Brothers? Not because they want to perpetuate a political ideology. They want Warner Brothers because they want to buy up another service. That's capitalism as well.
You know, in general, news outlets like newspapers and public radio are scrutinized for a perceived liberal bias by political opponents. That's not, you know, really what we're seeing with commercial TV news. What's different in that market?
That's a really interesting point. It does seem like there's a certain segment of the audience that wants to get their news, wants to be informed through broadcast television. And I will say that's an older and older group in the demographic and a shrinking group. And so that's another reason why Sinclair has to buy up more of these stations, because it's a smaller pool of audience members who are being informed by television, by broadcast news. More and more people are getting their news online, and that isn't going to change. So it's more a matter of, there's a certain segment of audience. They lean conservative. They want to get their news from broadcast media. It is no longer the majority, though.
All of this is happening as San Diego's voter makeup, though, has generally shifted from red to blue in recent decades. What do you make of these opposite trends here between voter makeup and news ownership?
Yeah, it just tells me that voters in San Diego are getting their news and information elsewhere. I mean, look at what happened with the Union Tribune when Doug Manchester owned it. They really tried to push this very, very conservative agenda, and people left the paper. Not only employees, but also readers. And they found their news elsewhere. That's why we have a Voice of San Diego. That's why we have a Times of San Diego. There are these options now. And I suspect that could happen, too, if somebody figures out a way to make money that would attract liberal or progressive viewers, readers, voters, whatever, and start some kind of a television station. If they could figure out a way to make money at it, they will. But I just think it makes the point of more of the conservative voters in San Diego will continue to get their news and information from the broadcast, and everybody else will go elsewhere.
You know, how effective are, you know, individual, well-meaning journalists, reporters within a news outlet that skews one way or the other?
It's really problematic for the journalists, because if you're working for a television station that you know is only telling part of the story and making you only tell part of the story, then you're not being a journalist. You're being a propagandist. And then you have some sort of a crisis on your hand of your conscience. Do you want to keep being a journalist? And if so, you might have to do that elsewhere.
Hmm. Where else?
Yeah, that's the great question. That's the great question. I'm waiting for somebody to figure that one out that says, oh, come on over here. But I mean, that is kind of what is happening, though, is that these niche news organizations, Inquire First or Inside Climate News or the Marshall Project or Voice of San Diego, there are all these smaller organizations that are hiring journalists. And but it's not the big 300-person newsroom that an LA Times used to be or that a Union Tribune used to be. I mean, look at the LA Times, for example. You had this owner who sounded like he really wanted to inform the public when he bought the LA Times and when he bought the Union Tribune. And that was honorable, and he said all the right things. And then as he realized, no— he's losing money on the Union Tribune. Then let's just sell it and sell it to Alden Capital, which has this history of just scaling back and scaling back, you know, until it's not an ideological thing. It's a money thing.
Hmm. What do you think all of this means for communities?
Yeah, well, there's this term that's out there now called news deserts. San Diego, thankfully, is not one of them. We have KPBS. We have still some robust reporting going on in all media, in my opinion. But you go into some parts of California, some parts of middle America, and what are you left with? You're left with podcasters. You're left with conspiracy theorists. You're left with people who just have the loudest voices who can trigger the most outrage. And are they being informed? And so then we think about, so how are they going to vote based on the information that they have? Yeah, I think that's not a good prospect for us.
Hmm. Where does citizen journalism fit into all of this?
Citizen journalism is more important than ever if— your previous guest mentioned George Floyd. If we didn't have citizens with their cell phones out putting that video of that police officer with that knee on George Floyd's neck, whose voice would we be hearing from? We'd be hearing from the police. We'd be, you know. Mm-hmm. But we citizen journalists are really holding powerful people accountable in a way that regular journalists have been doing for a long time, and it's actually more important than ever that they're the eyes and ears of a community.
Well, before I let you go, what's your message to listeners about, you know, how they should be consuming and digesting their news?
I think skepticism is a virtue.
Yes.
I actually teach it in my classes at Point Loma Nazarene, and what I mean by skepticism is not to distrust everybody. It's to say, I wonder if it's true, and then go to another source, and then go to another source. So if you're only getting your information from one place all the time, you might not be as well informed as you thought. But if you can take that extra step and say, I wonder who else is reporting on this, and maybe get another perspective, another point of view, that's, I think, the best advice I could give.
I've been speaking with Dean Nelson. He's a professor of multimedia journalism at Point Loma Nazarene University. Professor, thank you as always.
Always fun talking with you, Jade.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.